Well, we saw this week the truth of what humanity is capable of. A bomb aimed at killing children. We saw what the human heart is capable of. Hate rather than love. Vengeance over peace. We saw too unity in the people of Manchester and great support and community. Yet this week we saw pain and suffering of the likes many of us, we pray, have never and will never experience. And as the world watches Manchester, it is so easy for us to take our gaze away from the pain and the suffering that is daily experienced around the world. Because it is a desperately sad reality that the pain experienced by so many in Manchester is echoed around the world. We don't have to wait very long, do we, when we watch the news to hear of other bombs and wars and conflicts. We don't have to wait very long to hear of people treating other people badly. Just this week in Egypt, 28 Christians killed, and then the resulting bombing of Libya by the Egyptian government. Modern-day slavery is at an all-time high. 1.2 billion people live in poverty. We see pain in Manchester, and it is sadly echoed around the world. And our response to that suicide bomber, or others causing atrocities around the world, will no doubt vary. One of our responses might be that wouldn't it be great is it if we could just gather up all of those evil people, not just suicide bombers, but anyone who wants to do evil, and separate them from the rest of us. At least that would be a start. Well, it might seem like a start, and it would provide some needed protection for us and others. But the Bible tells us that it isn't the solution to evil. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Russian novelist. He was a historian, and he was a Christian. And he said this: "If only it were all so simple. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them." But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? Where did he get that idea? The idea that within us all is the capacity for evil. And to suggest separating the evil from the good is trying to cut the evil out of our own hearts. Well, Jesus was very clear. We had this read at the beginning of our service, Mark chapter 7, and verse 21. Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from within and defile a person." See, that awful event in Manchester is in fact a global problem, a universal problem, that shows that humanity's greatest problem is not physical, but spiritual. Because it is a problem of the heart. A heart, as the great theologian Augustine put it, which is so often curved in on itself, all too often enjoying the good gifts that the Creator has given, bending them to our own enjoyment, and yet forgetting the great giver, God. So what's the solution? If it isn't rounding up all evil people, what is it? Well, the God of the universe has a solution. A solution for the human capacity to cause pain, a solution for the desire for modern-day slavery, for the poverty in our world, for the wars in our world, a solution for the heart that is so often curved in on itself. And that solution is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's why world mission is so important. Because it is taking the good news of Jesus out to people who desperately need to hear it. So what is world mission, Well, here's a definition that we're going to be using this morning as we look at that passage in Acts chapter 8. World mission is obedience to God's call to reach the unreached with the gospel for welcome into God's family. World mission is obedience to God's call to reach the unreached with the gospel for welcome into God's family. And we're going to break that down now. And this is our very first point this morning. Obedience to God's call. What is world mission? It's obedience to God's call. The book of Acts is very much about the spreading of the gospel. We saw last week that Jesus had given and has given all of his followers a mission to share the gospel. And we got that from the end of Matthew's gospel. And in the book of Acts, we see the beginning of the gospel spreading. And here in Acts chapter 8, we get to see a person. It's very exciting. He was perhaps the very first non-Jewish convert to Christianity. He's described here as a eunuch. That tells us he was very important. Commentaries tell us that castrated males, we wince slightly, held positions of honour and trust in Oriental courts. And the passage goes on to say that, well, he was probably the equivalent of our Chancellor of the Exchequer. And this man becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. How? Well, because Philip was obedient to God's call. See it there, don't we, from, if you have a look down, see it there from verse 26. Philip, having been called to go, he meets this Ethiopian and he gets to share the gospel. And of course, he had a choice. He had a choice either to walk away or to be obedient to this call. Philip, of course, chose to obey. And that is the beginning of mission. It's obedience to God's call. For us, being obedient to Jesus' call to go and make disciples, well, it might look rather different than for Philip. It might be going, but it also might be giving. We saw a few Sundays ago, didn't we, that the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians begged to give. And do you remember why? They begged to give so that they could be a part, or they could share in the ministry. That's why they wanted to give. Or it may be for us praying. Again, we saw a few weeks ago how praying is God's gracious way of allowing us to be a part of his saving work. Yet it is God's call which nevertheless requires obedience. And it's not guaranteed to be easy. I was speaking a few weeks ago to Nicola Brown. So Nicola is one of our mission partners and with her work with WEC. And Nicola was telling me about the time that she went to the Gambia as a missionary. As a young lady, she went to the Gambia. It was such a sacrifice. It wasn't easy by any means. Leaving her family, leaving her friends, leaving her church, leaving comforts that she had got used to. So much so that she used to have a friend who sent her recordings on a tape of sermons. She had a little tape player with those big batteries, I'm sure you remember them. And her and a friend, one other Christian in the entire area, went on top of a hill to listen to sermons every Sunday. That was her church. It was a lonely time. But she did it. She was obedient to God's call, even though it wasn't easy. And that call, whether it is for us to go, or to pray, or to give, whilst it's not guaranteed to be easy, did you notice there's an urgency about it? Have a look down at verse 30, at the bottom of the page there. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch, he says what is so obvious, but what we can so easily forget. How can he understand unless someone explains it to him? Paul makes the same point in Romans chapter 10. We had that read out earlier. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Mission begins with people being obedient to God's call. So we can give great thanks for our mission partners. On our finance and giving form, you'll see a list of all our mission partners. We can give thanks for Tim, for Matt and Katie Linley, for Joe and Rachel Clark, for Rosemary Haslam, and for Nicola Brown and her work with WEC. And we can pray for more people who can be obedient to God's call and go and share the good news of Jesus. World mission is obedience to God's call. But that's not all there is to say. See, secondly, world mission is obedience to God's call to reach the unreached. To reach the unreached. But the fact that Philip met this eunuch was very unusual. They were from totally different places. The eunuch would have looked totally different to Philip. He would have sounded different. And yet it is completely irrelevant when it comes to mission. Because the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation, was never intended to be for just one group of people. And so the possible first ever convert to Christianity was from a country in Africa. And it shows that God's intentions were always to call Gentiles, non-Jews. And so, as we saw in our last point, the eunuch says to Philip in verse 31, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And they get to look at scripture. They get to look at a passage from Isaiah. Let's have a look at what they were reading. It's there in verse 32. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And what happens next is one of those real eureka moments. I mean, you're with someone and you're just thinking, oh, I really want to tell them about Jesus. How do I do it? And what does Philip get? The eunuch says, explain it to me. Philip must have been jumping for joy. This is brilliant. He's got a way in. And so he explains. And what does he explain? Well, he explains that Isaiah the prophet was talking about, not about himself, but about our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, whose plan to bring the solution to humanity's greatest need was so selfless that he was prepared to die and to be treated as a common criminal. But notice something else. Verse 35, it says that Philip began with that very passage of scripture. He began with it. You see, maybe, just maybe, Philip stayed in the book of Isaiah to explain the gospel to this eunuch. Maybe he stayed in the gospel, and maybe he read a few chapters. Maybe he read up to chapter 56. Chapter 56 and verse 4, where it says, in fact, let me turn to it. Isaiah 56 and verse 4, for this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. In fact, in verse 3 it says, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. No, the world mission is on God's heart. Has always been on God's heart. From this very same book of Isaiah, written hundreds of years before Jesus came, hundreds of years before this meeting, we see that it was always God's intention to bring people, such as this man, from the nations into God's kingdom. World mission is at the very heart of God, and it is still necessary. Around the world, there are 3,000 people groups unreached with the gospel. 3,000. There are 1,500 languages that don't have one single word of scripture translated. World mission is vital. And I guess at this point, it is possible to think, well, this shows that it's not for us, not for me personally. It's for those people who are prepared to go out and go abroad. But of course we live in London. The nations are here. One third of all Londoners are foreign born. There are over 250 languages spoken on the streets of London. Jesus said in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. Look at this. Look at our passage. It is God who brought the eunuch to Philip. And so we too don't have to go very far at all. God is powerfully at work and is in the business of wanting people to be saved. So, for example, and this is an example for us because we happen to live in Morden. In Morden, there are many Muslims, many foreign-born Muslims, and many Muslims born in this country as well. World mission starts here, doesn't it? Obedience to God's call needs to be active. So as our mission partners and others go to reach those 3,000 people groups, so we here in Morden are to recognise that across the road, for example, is the biggest mosque complex in all of Europe, which can hold, at any one time, 13,000 people. Reaching the unreached can start at home. And we're, of course, doing a number of things as a church to break down barriers and witness to our neighbours. So we've had our meetings for better understandings. We had last week the beginning of our Mahaba prayer event. Mahaba means love. It was an opportunity to pray for our Muslim neighbours. The next meeting is on the 13th of July. We've got the 30 days of prayer booklet that David talked about at the beginning of the service. We've had meetings with Muslim ladies. We've had after school children. We have after school children's clubs where Muslim children are brought by their parents and get to hear the gospel. And the danger, of course, is to say, well, these things are happening, so I don't need to do anything, because there's obviously people doing stuff, and so I don't need to do anything. Well, firstly, not at all. We are not, are we, as a church, bursting at the seams of our prayer meetings and having to turn people away from the meetings for better understandings and things like that. We're not bursting at the seams. We're not having to turn anyone away who want to get involved with reaching out. But secondly, in any case, that's not what mission is about. It's not about looking and saying, well, I'm not needed because someone else is doing it. A few people aren't going to reach those 13,000 Muslim neighbours. No, mission is about our response as saved sinners to reach the unreached for Christ. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it? Do we have the heart, or do we have a heart for the unreached? If we're Christians, we were the unreached once, and someone bothered to explain the gospel to us. Do you remember who it was for you? Mission is obedience to God's call to reach the unreached. For welcome into God's family. That's our final point, a bit more briefly. For welcome into God's family. So you notice what happened as Philip explained the gospel to the eunuch. Verse 36, he asks the best question. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? What can stand in the way? He had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He could now call the God of the Bible Father. He was accepted into God's family. that verse again from Isaiah 56, verse 5. I will give the eunuchs a better name than sons and daughters. It's wonderful. And so he wanted that picture of washing, which is what baptism is. A picture of his sins being washed away by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so Philip says, yes. And in verse 38, they go down to the water, to maybe a river or a stream, and Philip baptizes him. But of course he baptizes him. God saved him and welcomed him. And so Philip could do the same. And it no doubt changed this eunuch's life to hear the gospel and be welcomed into God's family. Changed the life of Stephen Lungu. I've left my book at home, I'm afraid, but there's a book called Out of the Black Shadows. And it's about a young man called Stephen Lungu. He wrote the book, and the Black Shadows, where the book gets its title from, was a gang in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And Stephen Lungu was the leader of this gang. And in 1962, when he was almost 20, he and his gang planned to bomb a Christian tent meeting with many hundreds of people inside. He had homemade bombs, as did all the gangs. And they arrived a few minutes early. A few minutes earlier than the 7 o'clock planned strike. 5 minutes earlier, in fact. So he suggested that they sit at the back of this tent meeting and wait. 5 minutes. That's all it took. 5 minutes for Stephen Lungu to hear the gospel, and then with tears streaming down his face, walking to the front of that tent meeting, not knowing what he was doing, he gave his life to the Lord. He desired nothing more, in his own words, than everyone inside that tent to die. And yet this young man turned to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness, and it changed his life. To the point that God continues today to use him powerfully as a missionary. And the missionaries, when they got alongside him after he gave his life to the Lord, didn't turn him away because of his past, but welcomed him as a saved sinner, because the gospel is mighty to save. The missionaries who are out there in the mission field are working hard to welcome people into God's family. And what a difference it can make. What a difference it can make to the heart, to humanity's greatest problem. So there's world mission. It's obedience to God's call to reach the unreached with the gospel, welcoming them into God's family. We've got a number of our mission partners visiting us this summer. This is what they're doing. And as we support them financially and in prayer, we can also join in with them to reach the unreached for welcome into God's family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity to reach the unreached with the gospel. Thank you for our mission partners and for all that they do, for being obedient to your call. Help us likewise to be obedient to the call that you give to us, whether that's going, praying, giving, serving for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.